Greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. It is a privilege to be gathered together as believers in Christ. And we'll be continuing our study in the book of Colossians in chapter 3 today. And it'd be good sometimes to just hear what some of your discussions were in Sunday school. And perhaps one of the saddest verses in the lesson was always learning but never having a knowledge of the truth. That is a sad picture, isn't it? And truly, we are, as we go through life, we retain a lot of scripture. We memorize a lot of scripture. But the key is for that message to travel from up here into our heart and to really grasp the truth. And so that's my goal for all of us. And I mean, that you truly grasp the truth. And I'm not saying you haven't, but it's like to not have the truth is a sad picture. And how many people struggle with that? And we talked about a little bit in our class that the kingdom of God will go on forever and ever. Whether we go with it is our choice. It's our, God doesn't force us. How do you say it? God doesn't need us. He needs us, but his kingdom will go on without us. But what a blessing it is when his people, the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, are true and proclaim his word in life. And whether you're, it's not because you're a pastor or whatever. So that's a pre-sermon for the sermon. But I was blessed with the scripture reading this morning, Jace. The pure word of God, you can't argue with that, can you? We try to enhance scripture sometimes by reading commentators, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's like when you're struggling with things and even with being misled and deceived in spiritual things, in things that maybe don't make sense in the Word, read the Word. It's pure. And ask. I think even some of the songs we were saying, just the commitment. Fill my cup, Lord, and feed me. And I don't know if we'll ever get to the point until we don't want anymore. I don't know. I was trying to figure out the theology of that phrase. I think I know what they mean. It's like, but we should always have a thirst. But it's also the thing of being satisfied, right? And then this last song, Search Me. Because, you know what? I'm in need, ain't I? That's not a proper word, is it, Joyce? But I am in need. And I think even as I line that verse or that up with the verse that says always learning and never coming to the knowledge, I think it's important for us, no matter how old we are, to realize that, you know what, I still need to learn, and that somehow we would be teachable. Today we look at Colossians chapter 3, and last Sunday, Steve talked about putting off and putting on. And I would like to just read verses 12 to 17 this morning and probably dwell mainly on verses 15 through 17. But I'd like to just include some of those, the things that we are to put on, beginning in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, New King James Version. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'd like to just touch a little bit on verse 14, where it says, above all these things, put on love. Love is a must. And it's something that has to be real. When you love someone, sometimes you have to do the hard things because of your love for that person. But love is a way of, like, checking my heart. Do I really have love? And notice what it says. It's the bond of perfection. And that's what we're striving to do. And I thought of the verse, be holy, for I am holy. How am I holy? Through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. So Paul is addressing the church at Colossae here. So he's talking to a body of believers. And I think in some ways, sometimes it's good for us to think of that as this is being addressed to a church. It involves us individually because each of us is a part of that church. It's not this building, but we are the church. And so, as we look at this, as we come to verse 15, we are faced with a lot of fears and anxieties in 2021, probably just as much as they were back then. And all of us have equipment to deal with fears and anxiety. Now, I know that there are different levels of fears and anxieties, but when we are struggling with a certain fear or an anxiety, I think it's important for us to realize, okay, so how do I, and sometimes we need help from somebody else, but how do I get out of the funk, as it were? How do I get out of this anxiousness? Because usually what happens, you dwell on yourself. And this morning James read the verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And usually when we struggle with feelings of anxiousness and fears, we usually are studying the things that we fear, aren't we? Because we're trying to solve this issue. We've done that with COVID, probably. We're trying to figure out the best things. But spiritually speaking, we need to focus. How do we keep from us being deceived? It's focusing on the truth. We don't need to study the counterfeit, but we need to study the truth. Verse 15 says this, let, and I've entitled my message just simply, let the peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Colossians 3:15. There's a different version. Let the peace of God rule. How do I do that? Is it something I can generate? Peace is what? It's a spirit fruit, isn't it? Genuine peace comes from the Holy Spirit. However, each of us plays a part in the decisions we make, the choices we make, in whether that peace is, in other words, are we allowing the peace of God, of Christ, rule in my heart? And if you think about the things that were shared previously, putting on, we have to put on these things, kindness. It's something that I can't just drum up, but it's something that I constantly need to do by the aid of the Holy Spirit in my life. I wish it were true that the older we get, the less we have to worry about these things. I don't know. I think you can vouch for me that you kind of keep on having to work through different things. We've learned a lot of things in the 50 some years that we've lived or whatever, but But there are a lot of things that we struggle with continually. And the bottom line is we need to trust. And I think it's important for us to look at the things that hinder us from trusting, or what is ruining my peace? What is it that's causing me to not have peace? Because God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So as we look at this subject, let the peace, and it's like, what a verse. It's like, I think it'd be good if we would just greet each other with, you know, peace. But it's like, let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's like Paul's saying, you know, just let it happen. Let the peace of God. It's like, it's really simple. Life is not that complicated, but it is, isn't it, sometimes? And I think all of us go through things that cause us, and I don't know what the purpose is of all things, and probably never will know all the purpose, but for one thing, it's something that we need to, for each of us to check is, okay, so what's the purpose? What does God have for me? Why am I going through this? There's a purpose for it. God's not trying to punish me, but we seek the peace of God. So fear and anxiety are things that, if they are left unchecked, it can cripple anyone's life. And it's amazing how things, just little things sometimes, can stress us out. Like these barricades out here. Have any of you almost nailed any of those yet? I almost did yesterday. But it's like, in our thinking, we think, well, what is this all about? And I don't know if you, and I've thought of this, it's like, of the story Never Cry Wolf, these barricades don't mean anything, do they? And then yesterday I was heading towards Millersburg and it said culvert out 7/8 mile ahead. And it's like, oh. And then's when I almost hit a barricade. It's like I had a quick swerve and it's like, okay, so I got to turn around. I mean, that's just a very small thing compared to things that we have in life, that, like health, issues like that, that really do. And losing a loved one and those types of things. So barricades on the highway are small, and yet sometimes they can kind of get us fired up or whatever. But it's like, focus on the good things. And I have to tell myself that. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has a lifeline for all of us. And the inner calm that we can have is found through Jesus Christ. If we would stop and list some of the things that are going on right now, we live in a broken world, don't we? And there's a lot of things that are, there's death that happens. Unexpected death, like Henry Hirschberger's, and I know there's a 20-year-old girl in Ohio that was killed, and a couple boys who were drowned, and just, there's just a constant, how would you say, a barrage of tragedy and brokenness. But in this whole thing, God has a desire for us to have peace, an underlying peace that is very hard to explain. And most of us can testify to that. How do you actually allow the peace of God to rule in your heart when life is most stressful and fear covers our world? One of the first things I think we need to do is we need to recognize the Prince of Peace. When Jesus came, the angel said, peace on earth. Has there been peace on earth? But Jesus had a message for his followers, and that was for peace. And the question, even as I was studying this, is my life, do I have peace? And if I don't, why don't I have peace? And so that's a challenge for all of us this morning, is Why do I struggle with peace? Peace and harmony are part of God's design for his creation. In Isaiah 6:9, Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. And the verse I quoted earlier about God being not the God of confusion, but the God of peace in 1 Corinthians 14:33. And this morning, as I thought of what Jace did for devotions, I thought, that's perfect. It's a way for us to be rooted in the Word of God, and we'll get to that a little later. But peace is a gift. It's the greatest gift that Christ, one of the greatest gifts that Christ offers, as follows in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And in Galatians 5:22-23, it's a fruit born of the Spirit. The peace of Christ doesn't come from running from our problems, ignoring them, or focusing on personal comforts. Because Jesus Christ within you, his Spirit of peace is also at work within you. And I think that's important for us to remember, that the Spirit of Christ in us is working as an agent of peace in our lives. And so I think maybe for us to just even physically say, God, inviting that peace into my life. Maybe that's something I need to do more on a regular basis. Just choosing and declaring who's in charge. Is it fear or is it Jesus Christ? Ask for peace because Jesus understands your fears and hears your prayers. I know that we've often prayed for something and it seems like God just doesn't answer. Maybe God wants to change me instead of the situation. And so pray for the peace in the situation. And in Philippians 2:5-8, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, don't be ashamed to go to God. Jesus experienced those things, and he did it for us. If you're frightened, tell him. If you're scared, run to him. If you're weak, ask for help. What's wrong with admitting our weakness when it gives Christ the power to be strong on our behalf? 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. To the world, that doesn't make a lick of sense, does it? We need to promote ourselves. We need to rise up. To say, you know what, I'm weak. That's not the way you get ahead. But it is when I'm small and God is big. In essence, that's when I'm strong. And sometimes God has to kind of maybe knock us down a little bit. Accepting that you are not in control is one step to surrendering to the authority of one who is. Paul wrote, "Do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7. Make Jesus your rock. Picture, and I know we've probably had pictures of this, is what is peace? Is it when the storms are dead? I think the picture of peace is a rock where water might be rushing all the way around it, and there's a bird's nest right in the middle of that rock, and the rock is not going to move. And that rock is Jesus in our Christian life, in our everyday. That is where he is much stronger than the circumstances. And we know that Jesus told the story of the man who built his house on a poor foundation in Matthew 7, and then also the one who built his house on a rock. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the little children can identify with that. Building your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then also, there's another verse in Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress and I will never be shaken. We are often shaken, aren't we? But to go back to that scripture and say and proclaim the truth that God is my rock, he is my fortress, that's where I go. In Psalm 125, the good news is the same rock who sustained David in the same rock is the same rock who takes care of you today. Therefore, learn to anchor your hope and peace to Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. You will not be shaken when the storms of life comes. Okay, so another point is this. Believe that Jesus is with you in the storm. And I thought this could be maybe one of the very key verses in peace. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. This sounds pretty simple and easy, doesn't it? But there are periods in our life that these are hard things, because they're real and they loom over us. Nothing is important for us to remember that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Romans 8:38 and 39. God is for you, Romans 8:31, and has promised to never leave you, Deuteronomy 31:6. These are verses from the Word of God. You are never alone. So when the bully of fear threatens to steal your peace and pickpocket your joy, remember that you have a bigger friend by your side, and you won't let that, and he won't let that happen. Sometimes we just have to let God fight for us. Psalm 46, 10 to 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. It's hard for us to be still. We live in a world where, and I'm talking about myself, it's so easy to just to go to Facebook, to go to the internet, to go to whatever, to constantly be, have my mind constantly being entertained, constantly be occupied. But to just be still before God, not just in church Sunday mornings, but in your life, be still and know that I am God. And then focus on what God wants, what God is doing and wants to do in your life. What does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do in my life? And I know that I've talked about this before, is that sometimes we just kind of meander through life without much purpose. But God wants us to have a purpose. Don't turn your eyes away from Jesus. Focus, and instead focus on the ways, but keep your eyes on Jesus. The same can happen to us as what happened to Peter. If we turn our eyes away, we will sink. We need to cry out for help. Let go is probably another one that's really difficult. And we've all heard the story of the man who was hanging on a cliff from a tree branch, and he was screaming for help, and finally he heard a voice that said, "Hello, are you down there?" And he said, "Yes. And I need help." And the voice said, "Let go." And the man said, "Is there anyone else up there?" And I think we can kind of identify with that, is sometimes we need to make a leap of faith, trusting, moving, and it seems like that's not the right way to go. And just this past week, I was reading in Acts where Paul was shipwrecked, and they cut the lifeboats. I don't know if you remember that story, where some of them were trying to get away, and they cut the lifeboats. And I thought, in our humanness, it's like, that doesn't make sense to cut the lifeboats. But it was following the command of God. And so, trust in God's power. Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17:7. So, whatever you're experiencing right now, remember that God is in control. His power is unlimited. And he has a plan. And that plan is ultimately good. Romans 8:28. So, next we come to... And so here's a prayer for peace. It's found in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And also in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the God, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times, and in every way the Lord be with you all. Next we come to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How do we let the word of Christ dwell in us? Well, there's four really quick things that is kind of a quick outline. Heed it, Matthew 13:9. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Handle it, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Handle it. Handle the word. And I think that's one of the things we do in Sunday school. I would miss that if we didn't have Sunday school. We get together, and I think in some ways it's a commandment from here. It's like, you know, sharing the word of God, instruct each other, direct each other. It's a part of our worship in life. And then hide it, Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hold it forth, Philippians 2:16, or hang on to it. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And this is part of the richness of the word of God dwelling in us. So what are some of the things that the Word of God does? I think it enlightens us. Psalm 119:130 says this, the opening of your words give light, imparting understanding to the simple. And I'm simple enough to believe that. It's okay to be simple in this case. Imparting understanding to the simple. It's nourishing. Don't take reading the Word of God for granted. Sometimes you don't feel like reading the Word of God, but it's important. It's like life. is the source of life in us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. What are the words? What is the word? I mean, we are blessed with the word of God. We have it available. We have it in a book form. We have it on our smartphones. It's probably more available than it's ever been. And the question is, am I reading it? Am I taking it in? Is it getting into me? Am I understanding it? Do I have the knowledge of the truth? The word of God quenches our thirst because it is the water of life. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, "For as just as rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return to thee until it waters the earth and makes it bear and sprout forth, so shall my word be with which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me vainly, but will accomplish what I delight in and will prosper in the matter to which I have sent it." God sends his word to water his people to accomplish his purpose in us. So when we receive God's word in us, it waters us, makes us bear fruit and sprout forth. If you're dry, maybe you're not eating and drinking from the word enough. It's strengthening forth. The word of God makes us strong in our spirit. 1 John 2:14 says, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one." That's how we're going to overcome the evil one, is by the strength of the word of God. And it washes us. Ephesians 5:26-20 says, "That he, Christ, might sanctify her, the church, cleansing her by the washing of the water and the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish." As we let the word of Christ dwell in us, the washing water of life in his word cleanses us inwardly, metabolically removing all our spots and wrinkles so that we might be beautiful to be Christ's bride. And the only thing that can happen, the only thing that can do that, is the power of the word of God. It builds us up. Number 6, it builds us up. Romans 12:4-5, "As such, we all need to be built together, but our natural, peculiar disposition often makes it difficult. Difficult for anyone to deal with us, much less to build us together and our fellow members. However, the word of God can touch us inwardly and make it possible for us to be built in the church." Acts 20:32 says this, "And now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." We have a wealth, riches in the word of God. Let's make use of it. It's completing. Number 7 is completing and perfecting. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching and for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work." This is the nourishment that we need to be complete. And finally, it's edifying. What does edifying mean? It's something that profits. It's something that's good. It's building. It's edifying. It lifts us up. So we need to feed. We need to read. We need to sing. And if you notice in verse 6 or 16 there, it says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Does anybody know the difference between those three? They're very similar, aren't they? But I think, isn't it? One commentator said this. He thinks that it's something that is spontaneous. And I don't know what kind of hymns they had, but they must have had hymns back then. And I don't know what each one represents. But there's a variety of ways that we can sing. And this is talking about us singing to each other, with each other, not just in the shower, but it could include that. But it's talking about admonishing one another and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. I remember as a little boy, and it had a big part in, I think, in my life, that my mom and dad and a bunch of Amish people that were concerned about their youth, we'd get together and we'd sing. And it was an inspiration. And maybe we need to do that more. Just get together and have us sing impromptu or whatever. And do it as small groups even. There's a blessing in those types of things. There's a way of lifting each other up. Verse 17 then says this: whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And I don't know about you, but that's a challenging verse. Are the things I'm doing in word or in deed, are they done in the name of the Lord Jesus? Whatever you do, it's a present thing. I think this, as I was studying this, and I thought, when I come to the end of my life, what will I think of the things I have done? Building a big bank account, building an empire for myself? Or is it greater than that? Doing the things which are done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need, I've said this long often, it's like we need money to survive. And it's not for me to decide what the next guy, how much he should make or whatever, but it's important for me to just, how do I make sure that I'm living for him? Here are a couple things that I found is: evaluate your plans and dreams and goals and ask yourself and the Lord through prayer if they are aligned with his word, his will, and his character. And as I thought of that, I thought how much pain and misery we could probably avoid if we would approach life that way. Evaluate your plans and dreams. And then put to death whatever is earthly in you, Colossians 3:5. Waging war against your sinful habits. Take it seriously. Don't mess around with sinful habits. They'll tear you down. They're a way to death. Put on the new godly habits, like we heard. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. We know all those things, don't we? But it's something that we need to do to be involved in it. And then take all your thoughts captive so they obey Christ. And may God himself give us fresh eyes to see his eternal word. May we guard ourselves against becoming complacent and even cynical in our consumer culture. Sometimes verses are nothing more than a poster on the wall. I'm not saying it's wrong to have verses on the wall. I think it's a good idea. But it's more important for us to have that in our heart, to have it register in here and not just be a cliche. And sometimes sometimes we almost don't want to say some things because we think it's just a cliche. But cliches, if they're true, are good. It's not just a cliche, it's the truth. Cliche, it's the truth. And then he ends up with this. Appreciate the past. Giving thanks to God the Father every step of our way as we go through life. Thank God for what he has done for you. To live life with a positive, thankful heart is huge. The posture of remembering who made us and remember who saved us lays a foundation of gratitude. As we walk in awareness that we are not responsible for our own life and breath, nor our right standing before a holy God, we walk in humility and thankfulness. And I think we do well to routinely thank God for the blessings we have. Know God by grace alone leads to gratitude. Philippians 4:9, I'd like to just close with this. Philippians 4:6-9, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. It is an exciting thing that we have access to it. And I pray that you would just make it an invigorating thing in our lives as we study your word, as we look, and as we have the ability to see your word from day to day, that we would see it with fresh eyes and not something that is just, oh, well, we just read it before. Help us, Lord, to have a fresh vision of your love and how much you love us and how much you desire for us to be your ambassadors, to do your will, to be obedient, to read your word, to heed it, to hide it, and let it allow it to light our way. As we come to the close of this service, God, I just pray that you would just anoint each of us with your Holy Spirit as we go from here. Help us, Lord, to be what you want us to be and to be that light, to be the change. We commit our lives to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.